Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Namaste.
Hello.
Okay with you?
That's fine with me.
I love that. Namaste, which is what Hindu. And what it means is the eternal, the spirit, the Tao in me, recognizes the same in you, okay. Our spirits.
So you come in peace.
You come, well, yes. You know, what we do, you hold up your hand so you don't have a sword. And it's always that I do a military. Shake hands means you don't have a club right. Behind your back. I got to do something first up here. There's a promotion spot that runs, and I think it's the opening of this, that in which I say the more we change, the more things remain the same. I picked up a copy, and this, of course, would go with my opening this morning, of a little publication or a paper called Tao Te Ching by the ancient Indian wise man Lao Tzu. I know you've probably heard of Lao Tzu. Have you ever read the Tao Te Ching?
No, I have.
Well, anyway, you know.
It's on my list, though.
Okay, all right. It's 600 years before Christ, before this, you know, these millenniums. 600 years ago. Now, remind you, Lao Tzu is writing to the leaders, because back in the Confucius did the same thing. You know, you're very familiar with that. But all of these were written because they were advice given to the great leaders. So here is his advice to a leader. And he's talking about the people. And he says, show them what is likely to excite their desires. That's the way to keep their minds from disorder. Now listen to this. Before the sage, and this is the leader, in the exercise of his government, empties their minds. Therefore the sage, in the exercise of his government, empties their minds, fills their bellies, weakens their wills, and strengthens their bones. Sound familiar?
Uh-huh.
He constantly tries to keep them without knowledge and without desire, and where there are those who have knowledge, to keep them from presuming to act on it.
So basically fat, dumb, and happy?
Yes. Yeah, through the mindless. Look at our popular culture, totally mindless, completely mindless. The entertainment and the things that we are consumed about and interested in, like filling the tool sheds and the rented thing with stuff,
right.
And the attic and the cellar, and jam it anywhere you
and
can.
And having
get.
The latest cell phone, iPhone, or whatever it is.
Yeah. Think fundamentally trivia. But I thought that was interesting because this would be 700 years ago, 800 years, 700 years ago, I guess it was. They're saying this, but there's a parallel. Hitler once said, how fortunate for government that people are so stupid.
Right, that's it.
But there's and even get back to Machiavelli and the Romans, remember, keeping the people entertained. To keep their mind off what you're doing to them.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that because I thought
that's
it was remarkable that this could have been written today by somebody writing a treatise on how to, and look what we're getting into now as we head more and more into a totalitarian welfare state.
Right.
That the people's minds are being completely lulled and diverted. And I think a lot of this stuff that I rail about and get very sick to my stomach about, some of this real loony nonsense, is done on purpose.
Yeah.
Probably to make us laugh, which makes us more docile.
Yeah.
And we talked about the docile workforce last week. Okay, let me jump into one thing. Apparently the impeachment thing, it's hard to avoid that.
Oh, it's all over
that's
everywhere
being funded.
Today.
Well, this is the... impeachment, this Congress, now let's start with them, and the Democratic Party essentially, and I hate to say that, having been one at one time, back when it was a legitimate political party, what they are doing here in the legislature, they will tie up not only legislative activity for months leading up to the election, but it will also... through their toadies in the media, this will be all the news, thunderous news, constantly, the minutiae of it, just stripping it down, angels dancing on the head of pins and the like over it. which will keep people from getting, the public from getting legitimate stories about issues. So what they're doing, they are managing to sweep aside big issues, immigration, taxes, health care, infrastructure's a big one, the climate. You'll hear a little bit about these, but only insofar as they keep up. They have to do obligatory damning of Trump. And so they'll throw a little bit of this out. But essentially, what this will do would be to eliminate from the public any meaningful ideological dialogue going into the election.
Yeah.
So.
And I can't watch Hot Bench this morning, and Rachel Ray's been preempted because of this coverage.
Rachel Ray, I mean, that's sacred.
I know. There's no Rach this morning.
I'll have to spend 40 minutes making my meal to dinner. I don't have a 30-second meal.
So we welcome in all the Rachel Ray viewers right here at Facebook Live.
And I want to mention, Eric Scott's going to join us next week.
Okay.
And the news director and, of course, the great voice of the news. Eric Scott is probably the most intelligent, brightest man I've ever met. And I've worked with some good ones. But Eric wrote a piece for the website this morning, and it's about voter apathy in New Jersey. See, that's another thing that plays into this impeachment thing. People get so sick of hearing about it.
You get your wear down.
They're not going to care.
Down, yeah.
But we're getting into a situation in here in which the voter turnout's down to 15%. But Eric wrote very meaningfully about that. Now, I wanted to get one more comment, and I'm not sure exactly how to word this. What words are, is the F word allowable? I don't mean the big one. I mean the little one.
I don't know. Lou?
Where are we going with this?
I'm going to tell you about something that's going on in a real legislature in a country where apparently things are meaningful. All right, I will paraphrase it. You'll know what the word is when I get through with this. Okay. In Kenya, now we often think, and sort of stereotypically, that some of the African countries are a little bit behind us in their political sophistication. Not so. While our government, our elected leaders, our Congress, lawmaking institutions, are set to tie everything up to do nothing meaningful for what they're doing in the Kenyan legislature, lawmakers are debating an initiative to curb and to stop passing gas on airplanes. Now, I see there's another word that's much more dramatic for that.
Okay, that's...
Which in this story, they use that word. It's a family show.
Right.
The station's owned by a family. So, and they said, if there's any one given irritant that makes people fight on board aircraft, it is the... word.
Yeah, because where is that going to dissipate, right?
I said it is
You're
terrible.
Stuck with it for about 2 hours.
Oh, right. No, I think we brought it up on crowded elevators. That's not good either. So, that makes some sense. All right, let's talk to Joe, who said the entire political apparatus is broken and corrupt. Yes, absolutely. Maybe they should concentrate on keeping people from leaving New Jersey, not worry about education and sanctuary cities. Stop wasting everyone's time. Get cracking on making this upholstered men's room of a state back to some normalcy. You know, Joe, we have been doing this, Bob and I sitting here, Eric Scott, Dennis and Judy, Jeff and Bill have been here. We've been here almost 30 years doing this. You see the response we got. We had one success. Now, I've talked about the things that I pushed for 30 years. This, government reform, the grip, of course, and we all, the left lane dick, you know, get out of the passing lane unless you're passing, economic issues. We have pushed those one and got nowhere. Everything is the same. It is one thing, and that was the red light scammer.
Right. We did get that.
I've almost forgotten about it. We weren't the only ones, but we were instrumental in that, getting to throw this abomination out of the state, the red light cameras. Okay, let's move.
Oh, did you, speaking of red light cameras, did you hear the latest thing about the school buses, the proposal to put cameras on school buses to catch violators of people passing school buses?
I thought they did that some time ago.
But this is apparently a new bill, but there's some caveats to this where the camera can determine if you're within 25 feet of a school bus. And if you stop and you think you're stopped in time for a school bus with enough space, if you're under 25 feet, you're subject to a fine because the law states that you have to stop 25 feet. Now, how many people really are stopping 25?
They got a tape to measure.
But apparently these cameras can track that.
Well, you see, that's the point. The same thing with the right turns on red. Yeah. There are situations. Every situation is almost different.
Yeah.
So, and the same with this.
Yeah.
So if they want to strictly enforce that, I don't think it's going to go anywhere because it's so patently ridiculous.
Because you would think the cameras would be there just to catch the violators that are passing the school buses and to get a license plate tag so you at least follow up and pursue that person.
Let me ask Dan Alexander. Dan, they do it already, don't they? They have cameras, school buses. Didn't they do that a few years ago? To catch people going by, or are the individual drivers supposed to do that on their cell phones?
I think they're supposed to look it up.
Yeah, would you please? But I thought there were, I know there was legislation to that effect, whether it got anywhere. It's like the fight for years and years over having seat belts on school buses.
Right.
And they never got, I think they eventually did get it on new school buses that are being manufactured. You know the biggest argument against having seat belts on school buses? The kids would beat the bedickens out of each other with the seat belts. Because you're dealing with humanity. John says, what about the Hudson Tunnel? We can never have that without our lazy senators who only care about non-New Jersey issues.
Now, I think we've said
John,
this.
John, if your heart doesn't melt over a little dog falling out of a helicopter, I don't know. Well, or an umbrella, because this is what our senators are doing. Spartacus.
What's he doing? He's
trying to raise money. He's begging money so he can continue his futile campaign.
But we have not had a champion for New Jersey infrastructure since Frank Lautenberg. I think we mentioned that a couple weeks ago. You know, Frank Lautenberg was the transportation infrastructure guy. He went to the federal government. Mm-hmm. He got those dollars in for highway and transit improvements. And I'm telling you, I would tend to think if Frank was still around and in office, Lautenberg would have made that tunnel project happen several years ago, and he would have brokered a deal across the aisle and made it happen.
It's very possible. I do not know.
Yeah.
Okay, this is another
show. We do not have the champion.
Voter apathy is because it does not matter if you are conservative. This state always sides with the Democrats. There's an element of that. I tell you what, Joe, put this in abeyance till next week because Eric has written very eloquently on that. Yeah. And he has some very, very good ideas about, well, there's a number of issues.
Yeah.
That certainly would be one of them.
We're basically almost a one-state party.
And to play into what Joe's what Joe is saying is that we had this redistricting gerrymandering so that it's practically impossible to root one party, which is the Democratic Party here, out because they changed the districts to strengthen this particular party.
Yes.
In other words, if you've got a district here that's been here for years, and over here there's a town that grew up and they're 85% Democrats, the Republicans would like to do it, but it goes to the Democrats, then what you do, you redistrict and you take them in. If you want to know how redistricting works, there is a great chapter explaining it by former Governor Dick Cody in a book he wrote. And so it's a very readable book. It's called Me, Governor. And if you get a chance, maybe you can do it on the cheap with a Kindle version or something, or buy yourself a copy. It's worth it.
I gave you your copy back, right? You loaned it to me.
Yeah, I did.
I did give that back to you, right?
You did?
I think I did. I'll go check my...
That's what... I don't know.
Were you looking for it?
No, it's not urgent. But
I think I gave it back.
Did you read it?
Yeah, it was fascinating.
Now, the chapter,
very easy read.
The chapter is on an actual redistricting, which they do every 10 years. You know what happened the last redistricting while the Democrats won? Chris Christie gave it to them.
Mm.
They had it evenly split, Democrats and Republicans, considering changing these districts to the advantage of one party or another. And there was a head of it who was a tiebreaker. So naturally, with four Democrats and four Republicans, whatever, it's going to be a tie. The tiebreaker, in advance, had announced that he was going to come down on what ended up being the Democrats' position, and Christie appointed him knowing that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, Elaine, A lane down memory lane. Remember the toilet paper issue over 20 years ago?
Of course, with Jim Florio's picture on the toilet roll.
I got that on my list here, the toilet paper rebellion. Also, I have the Flying Pigs rally, which
yes.
And you spoke at the Flying Pigs rally. Okay, cameras are in school buses to show the kids and drivers' behavior. Is that pretty much it, Dan?
Yes.
Here comes Dan Alexander, our head writer here, who's is running out to the green room to get his image.
But now they're looking to be able to enforce violators.
Obviously, you want this enforced. It's also against the law. There's a whole string of things, like passing a frozen dessert truck when it's stopped.
Right, that's pretty much the same law. But the school bus, as far as I know, is a 5-point violation on your license. That's the biggest one.
But the thing is, it's so open. Does this, well, maybe Dan knows this too. Will this device actually measure 25 feet?
Well, that's the concern of this legislation has been up from what I'm reading, the crash course I've gotten. This legislation has been proposed before to have these cameras on the school bus arms. Right now you can have a camera on the bus. And there was a case in Lakewood last year where we got that footage of a child had brought a weapon onto a bus, and we got to see that footage.
Mm-hmm.
But the current legislation would allow video cameras to be mounted on the sides of school buses. I'm reading from David Matthau's story, to ensure that all drivers that pass a stopped school bus are ticketed. And it's sponsored by Assemblyman Rob Karabinichak from Middlesex. He's a Democrat. It would authorize the use of a school bus monitoring system to identify drivers who do not stop for school buses, send them a ticket in the mail. The measure can have stiff fines and such. And Declan O'Scanlan, he is opposed to it because, much like with the red light cameras, there's no human element to it. Basically, if you're going 26 into 25, you're going to get a ticket.
Right.
I wanted to ask you. It indicates you had not stopped. But what, when, what distance, and how do they determine the distance?
Right.
Or Eric Scott, speaking of Eric got a ticket one time on the red light scammer thing, and it turned out that he had jumped it by 1/26th of a second. That's how idiotically they enforced it for money. I mean, the whole thing was for money. School bus, obviously, does have a safety
Billy
element.
Up here had a good comment. School bus camera is cool if it's for passing only, right,
but this is for not stopping, period.
Yes.
I could understand. But not stopping so many feet.
Yes.
Is that right? There is a specific, distinct
number of
feet. Yes,
right. You stop 19 feet instead of the regulated
19 feet, 11 inches.
Instead of 25
feet.
You get a big fine.
You would get a ticket. Yeah, conceivably. You could.
Now, thank you, Dan, very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Gosh, it's nice to have people who actually know what they're talking about.
Right, he knows. He knows it.
I put on a front like I do. we got a couple more here. Tickets, money, mismanagement of the funds. You know, I'm going to jump over something here I want to do because I mentioned the Flying Pig rally. Governor Corzine, in his budget address, and we had talked about this, people had for years, look, why raise taxes? You know, why this huge budget when if you cut out waste, you could save God knows how much. We know that started because in the very beginning of the Florio administration in 1990, Jim Florio had run, among other things, on a platform of the fact that he would have all state departments audited for waste if he were elected. He was elected. As I recall, they started the audit. They had gotten to the point they had identified, seems to me, about $3 billion in waste. It could have been five. It's been a long time ago from memory. But it was at least $3 billion in waste in the first five departments they audited. So they stopped the audit, and that was the last we heard of that.
Shame it didn't go further.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Governor Corzine had addressed that, and he had said, when they can save enough money to balance this budget, when we can save that much money by cutting out waste, pigs will fly. Now, unfortunately, that speech had been written for him by a man, I think he probably had a good sense of humor. I don't know, but the governor read it. And, of course, that became something. So this radio station, naturally,
yes, of course, we picked up on
We picked up and we organized a flying pig rally. I looked all over the house for my flying pig rally clothes, my shirt. Could not find it. Next week, I'll try that for sure. So we went down to the State House. Slew of people turned out. You spoke, and you were great. I didn't realize you could do that, because you were an orator.
Well, yeah, you get me going. You get me a little gin in me, and you know, I'll start going. I'll say a lot of things.
Well, but you sure did then. So let me get to this business of walking on minefields, as you put it last week. I think I mentioned eggshells, but right.
Verbal minefields.
Yeah, and we always it's more and more over absolutely nothing, and so many things. I see these things that somebody's being charged with some civil rights or a hate violation by something that if it's real, yeah, I have no problem with that, of course. But some of these things are so flimsy that someone looked cross-eyed, and the bullying thing got out of hand, too, for the same reason. So what they do, they come up with something that's evidently reasonable to stop a practice that's not good, and then they just keep overdoing it. And it gets to the point of absurdity. Now, here, this story, I believe it was in Bridgeton.
Bridgeton area.
In South Jersey. Now, I'll try to shorten this, because people all know the story of the little girl who disappeared.
From Bridgeton.
And, of course, there was a lot of comment about that. It's been on the air. It's been home. People talk about it all the time. Everybody has their theory about what happened to the little girl. Thank God, maybe some of these theories might be right and she's fine. At least we hope that's the way it's going to go. But anyway, a school teacher, so far as we know, a good teacher. Facebook. I mean, she's not out with a megaphone yelling this in the street at somebody trying to intimidate him. She made a statement because there was a discussion about why the mother, this very young mother with three children, why she stayed in a car, at least as I understand this, and let two of the kids, I think there was a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old, 3-year-old girl disappeared, the 4-year-old was the brother, let them play, presumably out of sight. And it's a question, but whatever reason, we weren't there, but she apparently stayed in the car. So there's some criticism. Why wasn't she out watching him? Because in this country, we are just very hot for that sort of thing. With all the child snatchings and things that go on, we are becoming, you know, certainly rabid in our protection and watching children. I know when my boys were little, they'd go to a bazaar in the mall. I would stand there right behind them, man. Nobody could look cross-eyed at them. Right. But and I don't know the situation in Mexico, but this teacher said, I quote as best I can, well, they're Mexican. It's a different culture. They don't supervise the children like we do. That's a proposition that looked at logically. You would debate, is it right or is it wrong? I don't know. But all of a sudden, it's a big thing. And this teacher stands possibility of losing her job.
Right, because she expressed that argument.
Because that's supposed to somehow, I don't know, that's supposed to be some kind of a hate speech against people who live in Mexico. This is crazy. She said that probably she heard that, but I don't know. Maybe she was there. But she says it's a different culture. They don't supervise the children like we do. Maybe the children aren't in as much danger there. I don't know. Mm. But the fact, this is a fairly innocent statement. That if she's wrong, somebody says, oh, I don't think that's right. And everybody says, okay, and you go about your business.
Well, why should she be persecuted for just expressing her opinion?
And so she said that, but my thing is, so what? So what? Why the hysteria about it? Everybody, again, it's the minefield. You can't keep going like this. There are going to be, eventually somebody's going to come out with a dictionary. Bob, you can do this and maybe make some money. Of forbidden words and phrases. You think this book is thin. I think it's about 30 pages in there. This one's going to be like these legendary ethnic slur stories about great blank armies or intellectuals or something. Billy says that's not bad of a statement, honestly. No, it's not. It's not a bad statement at all. It's the response to another listener who said you were too right-wing. Melinda, Jim has always been and always will be.
She's a longtime listener.
Okay, so she's a positive person. Right. I was looking for the person who said, look, I have my bones to pick with what we call the right wing, the ultra conservatives too. It's just that they are not in the news. Just now, you tell me one story now going currently that involves that, other than Hillary Clinton saying, keep saying she was a victim of a right-wing conspiracy. I've never conspired against Hillary Clinton.
No.
I tried as best I could to avoid even thinking about Hillary Clinton or mentioning it.
And so
what you are, either you are now to a progressive, you are either far to the left, about to fall off the earth, or you are a wild-eyed, right-wing, gun-slinging, people-bashing, ethnical slurring person.
I never understood why people always, some people viewed you as ultra right wing. You are nowhere near there. You're a voice of reason. You've always come across as common sense.
I don't know how old these people are, but how many people like I worked for Eugene McCarthy in the 68 election? And we worked hard, my wife and I, living in Connecticut at the time. Of course, for my wife, it didn't hurt. We belonged to the same McCarthy group that Paul Newman belonged to. So she'd be on the phone with Paul. Okay, Kathy, sorry to find that 101.5 is not bipartisan, but is the Fox News of radio. So disappointed in you, Jim, that you've lowered yourself to name-calling. Back when Democrats were a legitimate party, you've lost me as a listener. Okay, cheerios. I hope I don't mind offending people at all. Never did. Little offense is good for people. You find out that the people who say, I'll never listen to you again, are your most rabid listeners. You see, this again is walking on eggshells. We talk about the Democratic Party. I didn't say Democrats were illegitimate. I said a Democratic Party was a legitimate party
standing
on what I knew were the issues of the Democratic Party. Right. Now, this can go back if you want to. You go back to Roosevelt if you want. Yeah. And you could Adlai Stevenson, John Kennedy. I even voted for McGovern. I think there were two of us.
Right, yes.
May have been the other. I was the one who did that. I'm just very disappointed in the stance that the party is not that much locally. But I do know a lot of Democrats. One thing I've always said, and this is not a political thing, you should always fight to sit next to a Democrat at a dinner or a party or an occasion.
Why is that?
Huh?
Why is that?
Because they're more entertaining. You should always do that. But my idea now, you should always sit next to a Democratic, political figure, but you should never vote for one. I'm not going to get engaged in splitting hairs with people. If you don't like it, good heavens, it's a free country. Uh-oh.
Is it?
I may have offended that listener. And there may be demonstrations. And there may be lawsuits. Because I did not agree. Now, I have no problem. I have no problem. Let me put it this way. I have no problem with liberals, having been one to a large extent. Otherwise, no. You see, listen, let me make a fairly simple statement here that I made kind of a note about just to sort of remind myself. I agree with many of the central theses of the left part of the party.
Okay.
See, what's happening is the Democratic Party, for political reasons, I do not believe in their hearts at all. They are going left, 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 getting further to the left, further out there, because the feeling is, in the high places, this is where the votes are. Young people are being indoctrinated in school and in every the media in every single way to say that, as I talked about last week, they take a survey. What form of government do you prefer? 30-some percent of young people will say socialism.
Because
that encourages us to socialize. Anyway, I believe in the thesis that we have to change our ways. Start taking care of the earth, start taking care of each other. And to me, that's as obvious as a fist in the face. We have to do these things. Population control, environmental reforms, water conservation. You can go on with all the list. Now, they do mention these things, but then they have to get, everybody's trying to get further left than somebody else. Now they're out there, everything is free.
Right.
You know, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, everything is free.
Free stuff.
But then somebody's going to have to pay for it. But obviously not the people who are getting the stuff free.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a little bit of inconsistency there. But I tell you, just to cut to the chase here, I don't like the people who are promoting it. That's a personal thing, perhaps. But I don't have any trust in these people. They're operating out of some sense of self-aggrandizement. But anyway, I'm sorry we got bogged down in that. The political labeling is part of this politics of identity. And so now the same person who said that I am whatever it is, a far right wing conservative or somewhere to the right of Barry Goldwater or Attila the Hun, perhaps Louis XIV, the Sun King of France. I've got to do something here before we leave. Now, this has to do with dogs.
Yes.
And I got
you're talking about the dog ownership thing?
I'm talking about I'm going to gloss over something. And then I will have a couple of stories here regarding it. I'm not going to get into the details, but from things we've talked about and what I have learned, mostly from my own experience, I really feel, and this would be hard to do, and a lot of people say cockamamie, yeah, you're not acting like a right-wing imperialist, which said you should be able to do anything you want to dogs. I got a story about that, too. But I am becoming convinced that there should be some certification or education, or anybody who's about to own a dog should have to sit through some kind of a training program. You could do it online and get a quiz, because there are so many things we don't understand about these animals. And I have done it. Like Edith Piaf said in the song, "Non, je ne regrette rien," you know, I have no regrets. Except, I look back now and I see things that I have done to dogs who were treated royally, I thought. Fed well, cared well, the vet, you know, visits and everything. But there are things we don't know. And to me, one of the main abuses I see in dogs, people who have them, do not realize, and just as one thing, the dog is a pack creature. Hmm. The dog has to have a pack. It could be just you and the dog. But you've got to establish it, or other dogs, or else the dog is pretty miserable. So that's one small thing. I've got neighbors, good people, who have dogs, and they obviously don't know a thing about dogs.
Mm.
Because the dogs will be put out, two nice bulldogs, they will be put out in the backyard to howl and bark all day, which drives us up a wall. But they're, as I said, they're good people. You don't want to hurt anybody. Well, how do you get out of this? We have three right now, Dobermans. They are trained to not bark unless there is a reason to bark.
Hmm.
Then they're allowed one. Except at night, of course, they could go nuts if somebody's crawling through the window. But it's very easy to do. But these dogs just endlessly, endlessly bark.
And these are bulldogs that are left outside?
They're left outside. One was in the temperature, you know, the temperature pushes 100. They're out there. And then they have separation anxiety, too.
Mm.
But that's just one thing. Now, the people, I cannot say they shouldn't have a dog, because they feed the dog, and I'm sure they have cared for the dog, but they don't know.
They don't understand.
It's a matter of ignorance. The dog can die in that weather.
We leave our dog out for 5 minutes in the warm weather. He's like panting. It's like, hey, what are you leaving me out there for so long? Let me get some water.
Our dogs all hit 100 pounds. When it gets too hot, you let them in or they're going to come through the door on their own.
Right.
They will bull rush the door. I said I'll get into that more. But something to educate people into some of the mores of the dog. I have terrible, you know, sometimes guilt, and I have to try to fight it away over things that people generally wouldn't notice. Well, okay, so you had the dog in the backyard, but I didn't have enough contact with the dog, and the dog had plenty of room to run and plenty to eat. Now, this is Pookie, this is Nikita.
Hmm.
And I just didn't spend enough time with her, couldn't let her in the house because she would get nervous and piddle if she got nervous. So, okay, you know, nice house outside, you know, the whole thing, but anyway.
So now, what do we
do? Here's two stories. Number one, is, okay, number one is a dog. I read about this. Dan would know about that, too. It was on the website, dog called Aladdin. And Aladdin was a dog in South Jersey who had been abused terribly. People took it in to sort of cut to the chase here. People took the dog in, got it care. It ended up recovering, being a very nice dog. All of a sudden, it comes down with an illness that at first was diagnosed by veterinary authority as a terminal affliction, okay, or anomaly. Found out later that it wasn't. However, during the course of figuring that out, they run up a $16,000 bill.
Goodness.
Now, that is... Now, here's my thing. This has gotten so out of hand that the cost of veterinary care prices many good people out of veterinary care because they can't afford it. You don't go to a vet for less than a few $100s.
Nope.
For anything.
That's right.
But anyway, the story with Aladdin is that I see, and there was a parallel story to a police dog, canine dog in South Jersey, who was wounded in action. And it ended up they had to go on GoFundMe to raise money to pay the vet bills. Now, you tell me why, in the name of anything, the vets would not do this pro bono on a canine dog that was shot protecting the public, and all they're doing is running it up. So, and the same thing with Aladdin. Show some mercy here.
Right.
And so these people go on Facebook, they raise money, and I suppose the people doing this, soaking up the money, think that this is going to happen. $16,000, some care, obviously, and what apparently was a misdiagnosis. Apparently the dog has something very operable now. But why the charge? And so my first thought was that this is a remarkable incident in New Jersey. Here is a group who managed to, what would you say, you talk about transgendering people, they trans-speciesed because... They turned a dog into a cash cow. And so that's my complaint there. Now, here's one more thing. This is Jordan, the country of Jordan, which is Israel's neighbor. They're generally friendly to us. The State Department has been sending the Jordanian government trained drug-sniffing dogs, trained in this country. Now, if you are going to go out and buy yourself a drug-sniffing dog, I imagine $20,000, $25,000, because the training is intense.
Absolutely.
Intense. Now, what's happening is they find out that if they send these dogs trained to Jordan, they are abused. And they have a picture of a dog, a 3-year-old Belgian Malinois, emaciated, covered with ticks and sand flies, and of course, other injuries after a year in Jordan. Was repatriated back to the U.S., finally had to be anesthetized by the same facility that trained him. And that's one. This is constantly happening. The animals are being abused. Why? It's where you're sending them, and this is not a government policy there, and I'm sure this is not everybody, but Jordan is an Islamic country. In Islam, a dog is an unclean animal. It is, in a sense, in league with the devil. And there is a tradition that if you have gone to prayer and you finish your prayer, you get up and you see a dog, your prayer is nullified.
Mm.
Now, who came up with that one? I have no idea. I'm not that deeply into their doctrines. But that apparently is the case. And so what it appears to be happening possibly here, and certainly not by good, decent people, but there are nuts. And if the dog is a tool of the devil and Satan, you can't abuse Satan, so perhaps you can his representative.
Right.
And so I think there's something playing into that. Now, here's my problem. There's been a cry from the United States Office of the Inspector General to get them the hell out of there. But the State Department says no, they are going to give it some consideration. And apparently they're going to start sending dogs back once they get what they call a sustainability plan to ensure canine health. You didn't get that in the first place? I mean, you're sending, just think of this culturally, and this is the State Department. It's supposed to have some people there bright enough to realize cultural differences. So they're going to turn right around and do it again. So it's not just the money, it's the poor dog. What's going to happen to it? All right. I had to get it out.
Hey, so what are you doing for Indigenous Persons Day coming up?
I don't know any Indigenous persons. I'm thinking if I see an Eskimo, you better believe.
We're talking Columbus Day.
Yeah.
So if you go to Newark and Princeton.
I'm not that familiar with that.
Well, apparently Newark and Princeton not celebrating Columbus Day any longer. I don't have any
problem with that. I think it's a great idea, but I think it should be another day. I mean, I know there is an attempt to discredit Columbus. This has been going on for a long time. And no doubt the Knights of Columbus will be considered a racist group or something.
Maybe they'll change their name to Knights of Indigenous People.
Knights of Indigenous People. I would suggest that to the church, any people in the church hierarchy listening.
Right.
No, do it. It's fine. There's no problem with honoring people and their traditions. And there's no problem in feeling guilty as hell at what the Spaniards did.
Yeah.
And wiping out a culture that was more advanced than their own.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what
with
about,
one exception. Right. And this, I think, was the problem. And again, I'm just thinking from history. When the Pizarro, Cortez, the Spaniards arrived, they were accompanied by priests because the idea of Jesuits to convert anything in sight. They saw one of the first things they saw about the people, especially in Montezuma, your large cities, that they were practicing human sacrifice. Now, the Inquisition was a horrible thing, bringing terrible devastation and cruelty, but they did not believe in human sacrifice.
Mm.
Therefore, they were superior in their cruelty to these people. So therefore, they had a right to wipe them out. So, but other than that, it is absolutely amazing the culture that they had there. And we destroyed it. They destroyed the culture that might have had. Remember the calendar that was so accurate? Then
right.
We thought that it predicted a change in a whole new era on December the 21st. When was it? 2011 or whatever it was. And
right.
All of this stuff, it was so... Okay, but again, you asked what I thought about Indigenous Persons Day. Great, have it on another day.
And what are the car dealers going to do? Have Indigenous Persons Day car sales?
They probably will. And they probably will have
big furniture sales for Indigenous Persons.
Well, who are Indigenous Persons? Are the American Indians?
Right.
Now, I don't say you're supposed to say Native Americans or you're a racist, which is ridiculous, because the people I know who were Native Americans, they're very proud of the Indian.
Right.
It's like, what are the Washington Redskins?
Mm-hmm.
I think that flaps over, I guess.
No, it's still going on. Yeah.
I had a great idea. They had a picture of an Indian on their helmets,
yes.
And it said Redskins. Just go along, put a red potato picture, and that's Redskins, and
right.
Put that on your helmet and tell these people to go sit down and shut the hell up.
And root for the Spuds.
Root for the Spuds. I don't know, but I think we're going downhill.
That's fine. So we're going to quit while we're behind.
Yeah, but there's just so much stuff, so many things going on. Try to hang in.
Yep. Glad you joined us this morning.
Namaste.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.